ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad-Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, the island of Jambudvip, text number 7. Is that written?
Yeah.
Okay. Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam Navan na buddhir na kritisto shahetu Navan na buddhir na kritisto shahetu Teryad vishishtan api no vanaukashash Teryad vrishishtan api no vanaukasash Chakar sakhye bata lakshmana graja Chakar sakhye bata lakshmana graja Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam Na van na buddhir na kritisto shahetu Teryad vrishishtan api no vanaukasash Chakar sakhye bata lakshmana grajaha Naam, not Janma, birth in a very polished aristocratic family. Nunam, indeed. Mahataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, nor. Sobhagam, great fortune. Na, nor. Vak, an elegant manner of speaking. Na, no. Buddhihi, sharpness of intelligence. Na, not. Akritihi, features of the body. Toshahetuhu, the cause of pleasure to the Lord. Tei,
by all those above mentioned qualities.
Yat, the cause. Vishristan, rejected. Api, although. Na, us. Vana okasaha,
the inhabitants of the forest.
Chakara, accepted. Sakhye,
in friendship.
Bata, alas. Lakshana, agraja. Lakshana agraja. Lord Sri Ramchandra, the elder brother of Lakshman. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramchandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramchandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramchandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In a prayer to Krishna expressing her feelings, Srimati Kunti Devi called him Akinchana Gochara. The prefix A means not, and Kinchana something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education, and so on. But although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee, and when he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. Those who are puffed up by a high birth, wealth, education, and personal beauty, Janmaishwarya Sutshruta Sri, unfortunately do not care for developing Krishna consciousness, nor does the Supreme Personality of Godhead care about all these material qualifications. The Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. One's devotion and sincere desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the only qualifications. Rupa Goswami has also said that the price for achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Lolyam ekam mulyam. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, Khola vecha sevakera dekha bhagya sima. Brahma shiva kande yara dekhiya mahima. Dhane jane panditye krishna nahi paaye. Kevala bhaktira vasha chaitanya gosai. Behold, the great fortune of the devotee Kholavecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Kholavecha Sridhar, and whose only business was to sell pots made of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges, and with the other 50% he provided for his necessities. On the whole, he was so very poor that he lived in a cottage that had a broken roof with many holes in it. He could not afford brass utensils, and therefore he drank water from an iron pot. Nevertheless, he was a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a typical example of how a poor man with no material possessions can become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Gosai through material opulence. That shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anya bilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service.
Om-ajñāna-timirandasya-gihānanjana-shalākaya Chakshurun-milatam-yena-tasmai-śrī-guruve-namaha Śrī-caitanya-manobhistam-sthāpitam-yena-bhūtale Svayam-rūpa-gadāmayam-dadāti-svapadantikam Vandeham-śrī-gurur-śrī-yutapāda-kamalam Śrī-gurun-vaiṣṇavamscha Śrī-rūpam-sāgrajātam-sahagana-raghunāthānvitam-tam-sajīvam Sādvaitam-sāvadhūtam-parijana-sahitam-krishna-caitanya-devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyai Kesavasacha Krishna Bhakti Prada Devi Satyavatai Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Na Janmanu Nam Mahato Na Saubhagam Na Vaan Na Buddhir Na Kritis Tosha Hetu Teryad Vishishtan Apino Vanaukasash Chakara Sakhe Bata Lakshmana Grajaha. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramchandra on the basis of material qualities such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramchandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramchandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends. So thank you very much for giving me opportunity to speak something in the glorification of Lord Ramchandra on Ram Navami Day. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So this verse is actually spoken by Hanuman himself. Hanuman decided to live here in this world as long as the names of Lord Ram are chanted. So Hanuman is still here. He had made a vow that I will not leave this place, this material world, as long as the names of Lord Ram are chanted. We also hear that wherever the glories of Lord Ram are spoken, Hanuman is also present. In fact, wherever Lord Ram in any incarnation, Krishna has many incarnations. Even during Krishna's time, Hanuman was present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Wherever there is the Lord, the devotee is present. And this devotion is contagious. If someone hears about or associates with devotees, then his devotion will be nourished. His devotion will be enhanced. And devotion has no material qualification. When Srila Prabhupada went first to see his Guru Maharaj, the very first time he had the darshan of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw him and immediately said, "You educated young man, you are educated in the English language. You should go to the Western countries where they speak in English and you should distribute this message of Lord Chaitanya." So for the first time, on the very first meeting, Srila Prabhupada posed an argument to his Guru Maharaj, his would-be Guru Maharaj at that time. And he said, "But India is dependent on the Britishers right now. Who will listen to your Lord Chaitanya's message if we preach? We have to first become independent of the British and then we can spread this Krishna consciousness." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to him, "Devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not dependent on any material circumstance."
We can of course use many different examples of excuses to say, oh, we cannot practice Krishna consciousness so seriously and achieve perfection in this very lifetime because we have so many other things that are occupying us, and to become purely devoted in this situation is very difficult. Hanuman is giving a very strong argument. He is saying, look at me. I was born in the forest. I have no high birth, according to him. Of course, we know Hanuman is not an ordinary person from the start. We are monkeys. We are not very beautiful to look at. We may be looking cuddly, but we are not very beautiful to look at. So we do not have any bodily beauty, neither do we have much intelligence. Nor are we learned in the Vedic Shastras or the scriptures to know how to deal with things. And many times Hanuman actually exhibited that. His primary qualification was his devotion to Lord Ram. When he went to get that hill, actually he went to get the herbs to cure Lakshman because he had been hit by an arrow and very deadly wounded. And he could not understand. He was not in knowledge of, you know, the aushadis or the medicines, what kind of herb to get to cure. So he decided, take the whole mountain. One may say Hanuman does not have intelligence, is a monkey. Okay, even if he did not have theoretical or practical knowledge regarding aushadis, but he had the intelligence to discern what to do when I don't know. Then I take the whole mountain with me. Then there is no possibility that it's not on this mountain. Because he was told it is on the mountain. So, as the devotee engages in the Lord's service, we see that the Lord gives the necessary intelligence when it is required. When it is required. This is very, very important. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, does Krishna tell you everything? I was just reading this, Shruta Kirti Prabhu's book, little anecdotes. Do you know everything? Krishna tells you everything? Prabhupada said, nobody knows everything. Krishna is the only one who knows everything. But whatever the guru needs to know, Krishna tells him. And so, whoever is very much devoted and is a Vaishnava, he is automatically guru. Those who have followed the devotional path, they are already guru. And while we are going along in the path of devotion, this verse is trying to indicate to us what to be careful of. That we cannot prematurely start thinking that my material situation is going to impress Krishna or Ram, or my eloquence will impress him, or that he will be very much impressed by my studies of the Vedas or my sacrifices that I perform or the tapasya that I do, or how wonderful I am that I have not missed a single Mangalarti for the last 6 years or 10 years. Although these are qualities that can be used in the service of the Lord, there is every chance that these same qualities may become an impediment if we are not careful. Because the underlying problem is actually our ahankar and false ego and our stubbornness. And you will see these are indicated as actually part of demonic qualities. Hiranyakashipu was very, very stubborn. It is a known fact nobody can kill Vishnu. But he tried to do that. Ravan also tried to do exactly the same thing. Kill. Kansa tried to kill Krishna. Ravan, we have so many different instances where demons have thought they do not know the higher nature of the Supreme Lord and therefore they try to even kill the Supreme Lord. And nowadays in Kali Yuga there are so many demoniac qualities that at every single step people try to eliminate God. Krishna, Rama. So what is happening is that we have to be very careful that we do not become like them. While even executing devotional service, sometimes this can happen. There are two kinds of obstacles that can come to achieving complete success in spiritual life. Only there are two obstacles in achieving the mercy and love of Krishna. Number one is aparat, and number two is Krishna himself becoming an obstacle. Nicely serving in the spiritual world were Jay and Vijay, and Krishna arranged for this whole episode that they become demons. Krishna himself became an impediment. Therefore some time, but it is actually in the ultimate sense they are also performing some devotional service in the form of demons to the Lord. This is a very, very amazing arrangement by the Lord. That Jay and Vijay, who actually became Ravan in Kumbhakarna, and others also, three births, but they are actually executing their activities as per the will of the Lord. So one time, while this battle was going on between Ram and Ravan, Ravan became very surprised at how is it that I am not able to, I am finding so much difficulty just from an insignificant human being, Ram. So he thought, I think I need some help. So he went to the nether regions of the world. He went down to the Sutala planet. This was even during the time of the battle. He was wanting to get more assistance. He was losing on the battle. And he went to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is also born in the family of demons. And he said, so he went there and there were guards and not allowing him to go inside. So he used his mystic powers and so many different kinds of sorcery and he tried to actually get in. Finally, he was able to enter. And Bali Maharaj looked at him and he said, what are you doing here in Sutal planet? He said, I have come because I need some help. You need some help? You who have conquered all the demigods and everything, you know, you have, everyone is actually, you know, just by you raising an eyebrow, they are actually, the demigods are afraid of you. Why? What kind of help do you need? Oh, there is an insignificant human being. And I need some help to defeat him. That was even more surprising. So he said, insignificant human? Of course, it can't be. Well, who is it? So he said, he is the son of Dasharath. And he said, you fool. Bali Maharaj said, you are foolish. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot kill him. What have you done? Then he told everything. And he said, no, you should return Sita straight away. He gave him so much advice and he would not listen. Now this was not an ordinary person advising Ravan. This was Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans. He is actually one of the Mahajans and he is advising. And Ravan is just, it's not having any effect on him. So then, he said, you come, I got to show you something. So he took him what appeared to be, took him to what appeared to be like a mountain of large boulders of diamonds. It's a whole mountain of it. And he looked at it, and you know how those who are of that quality, they are attracted by wealth, they are attracted by this beauty. And he saw these huge boulders of diamond. And if you look at the descriptions in the Valmiki Ramayana, when Hanuman went to secretly and jumped across to Lanka and he was actually investigating where is Sita hiding, then there is an elaborate description of the opulence of Lanka because he was going everywhere and what he found. And Hanuman was one-pointed focused on his purpose, why he is there. Otherwise, there were so much opulences that it is very easy to get distracted. So, Ravan, of course, was very materialistic and he saw this huge and mountain. And Bali Maharaj said, if you can lift it, you can have it. So he went and tried to lift and he could hardly budge it. Then, when he couldn't, then Bali Maharaj said, okay, come away from there. Now go a little bit backwards and have a complete overview. Look at the mountain. What do you think the mountain looks like? And he looked at this mountain of diamonds. He said, it looks like the shape of an earring. So Bali Maharaj told him that while you were fighting with Lord Nrisimhadev, this was as in the form of Hiranyakashipu, this was your earring. And in those days when you had so much strength, you were actually killed by the Lord Himself. And now look at your strength. You cannot even lift up your own earring. You cannot even do this. So, give up this stubborn nature. You should give up this idea of killing Ram. It's not going to happen. You should go and release Sita and ask for forgiveness. But Ravan actually did not listen. He went back. And when he went back, he, you know all the history of what happened then. But the point here is, even in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada also says many places, he says that there are three types of things due to which a person will not accept the Lord. The first is that if someone is very stubborn, you know, this prakar se jit pakad lete hain. Is no, this is it. I am not going to. And this kind of ego is very much in a person who is actually a demonic person. He cannot let go of his stubbornness. First one. Second one, someone who actually has very sinful past, he also cannot surrender to the Lord or accept Him. And there is a third one. I'm trying to recall the memory. There is a third one. Those who have not done, I think, pious activities, then also they will not be able to accept the Lord and surrender to Him. So, in the forest, While Lord Ram was there, one time, with, I think it was in Chitrakoot, with Sita and Lakshman. Early one morning, there was some rain coming. So after this rain, then the rain actually drops off. Rain was on all the leaves of all the shrubs and plants growing there. It was glistening in the sunshine. The sun came out after that. It was looking very beautiful. And then all of a sudden, some cows came. And when Lord Ram looked at these cows, he started to smile and became very happy looking. And Sita was watching him. And Sita asked him, "Oh, you are actually very much, what's wrong? Or what's right? You are smiling so much at these cows? Why did you do that?" Of course, Lord Ramchandra would never lie. So he said, "It's because I got reminded of my upcoming future incarnation. I became reminded of that." Oh, she became even more curious. "Your future incarnation, can you tell me more about it, please?" So Lord Ram asked Sita to be a little bit patient and I will let you know. Give me about a week or so. So every day in Chitrakoot, he would disappear for some time on his own. He wanted to give this as a surprise. And then he would come back. So after a week or so, I mean, Sita was very anxiously waiting for this. Then he called her, "Come, I'll show you my future incarnation." And he went, they went there, and Lord Ram had a slab of stone about today. In today's time, it was about this big, maybe this big, from the floor. Many of you may have seen that slab, but I'll remind you where you see it. Maybe some of you already know what I'm talking about. So, from this slab, Lord Ram had, by the use of his iron arrowhead, he had carved an entire deity of Lord Krishna with his own hands. And on the sides of that slab of stone, he has actually made, you know, marks, also like a drawing. And it was showing the different pastimes of the Lord Krishna. One, he was with the cows. Another with the gopis. Third one, he was lifting Govardhan Hill. Many, many such pastimes were all around on the slab. And he was speaking to Sita Devi like this about this. So, that deity was being then worshipped every day. Brahma's day. Brahma used to come and worship the deity every day or whatever, how much time. And that deity then, somehow or other, there is a long history, I won't go into that long thing. But there is, that deity is still in India. If you go from Calcutta and you go down south to Puri, catch an overnight train, you come to a train station called Baleshwar. And in Baleshwar train station, if you ask any rickshawala, "Take me to the Shirchur Gopinath temple," this deity who stole sweet rice from Madhavendra, for Madhavendra Puri, this Shirchur Gopinath is the deity which Lord Ram carved with his own hands. I was very fortunate once I went there to visit, and the pujari actually, somehow, by great fortune, he called me inside the deity room. And then he took off the dressing of the Lord and he let me have a look at all those markings. There is another story of Lord Ram actually promoting deity worship himself. Because, you know, many, many years ago I was in Fiji and I went to one village to preach. And an old man saw us coming and he said, "Oh, very good that you came." He was very exhilarated. And he was also angry at the same time. I could not put these two together. Why is he so angry and at the same time he's so exhilarated to see us? I said, "What is the problem? Any problem?" "Yes, big problem in this village." "What is the problem?" "For so many years we have been worshipping the deities. And now one woman comes here dressed in white and she tells them all a story. And all of a sudden, everybody gives up worshipping the deities." And I thought, wow, that was very powerful, some sort of preaching. How did they convince? Because if someone is very much engrossed in a certain culture, then it is very difficult to take them away from their culture thing. So how was she able to do it? Then he told me the story. I said, "What story? What did she tell them?" So she said that there was a mother who wanted to marry her daughter, get her daughter married. It was time, found the groom, everything was organized. And the mother thought, "Let me take my daughter to the temple of the Lord and get the Lord's blessings for her." So she said to the daughter, "Get ready, we are going to the temple." So, in those days, of course, there was no conveyances. They were walking to the temple, long way. So, on the way, the daughter started to say to the mom, "Look, look, mom, there is an elephant." And the mother said, "That's not an elephant, dear. It is the statue of an elephant." And she went further, a horse, a cow statue. So many different things. She kept saying the same thing. And the mother kept saying the same thing. It's a statue. Once they ended up at the temple and the mother said, "Please bow down to the Lord." She said, "Where is the Lord? This is just a statue of the Lord." And you see, by the use of what we call logic, they were trying to stop deity worship. Because logically, it is making sense. But it is definitely not the truth. So many times you will see in Shastra that something will make sense to you, but it may not necessarily be the truth. Therefore, we have to follow the Mahajans. We have to see what the Mahajans have said and do accordingly. Now, there was a Brahmin once. So this is about Ram promoting deity worship. This you will find in the Brahmanda Puran. There are about few chapters in the Brahmanda Puran which are called Adhyatma Ramayana. And in this, there is a story of a Brahmin who was living in Ayodhya. And this Brahmin had taken a vow, very rigid vow, that unless I see Lord Ram with my own eyes, I will not have anything to eat or drink. So every day he would have to see Lord Ram first. Now in the course of managing the affairs of Ayodhya, sometimes Lord Ram would be away for a week. And this Brahmin would not even drink a drop of water. So Lord Ram came to finally know about this vow of the Brahman. And Ram called for Lakshman. And he told Lakshman, "You have a deity of myself and Sita, don't you?" Lakshman was actually having a deity of Sita and Ram. "Can you please give these deities to this Brahman? Let him every day have my darshan and then he can eat. These deities are not different from me." So Lord Ram also promoted deity worship in this sense. This was in Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga was the time for performing yagnas. But he still introduced deity worship at that time. So Lakshman gave these deities to the Brahmana. The Brahmana worshipped very lovingly every day. And when he became very indolent and he could not do so anymore, he was about to leave this world, he gave these Sitaram deities to Hanuman. And Hanuman displayed his little monkey-like nature. He tied a string and carried the deities around his neck. And he was doing Ram bhajan. And it is described that in that Adhyatma Ramayana, that these deities of Sitaram from Hanuman, after that Hanuman left for Kimpurush Loka. That is where Hanuman is right now. He is in Kimpurush. And if someone wants to know Kimpurush Loka, where they used to live, they have great mystic powers. Very, very amazing mystic powers. Whatever they think or desire, it just manifests. So Hanuman and the human beings there look like vanaras or monkeys. So Hanuman then passed it on to Bhim. And Dwapara Yuga, when he met Lord Bhim, Bhimsen, one of the Pandavas, then he gave these deities to Bhimsen. Bhimsen, he did not worship the deities, but he kept them in his palace. Then later on, these set of deities came to the Gajapati kings of Orissa. And just 3 months before his passing away, Madhvacharya received these deities of Sitaram Lakshman. Sitaram, he got these deities. So he kept, he installed the deities' worship in the Udupi temple in India, in South India. So you will see, there is a whole history of, it is described that these deities, how did they come to Lakshman originally? Because these deities were already being worshipped by Maharaj Ikshvaku before even Ram appeared in this world. These Sitaram deities were worshipped by Ikshvaku. This is a very long history. So this you find in the Adhyatma Ramayana. How long am I supposed to continue? Anybody can tell how long should we plus one?
There's no breakfast, so you can
tell. No breakfast. This is breakfast. Okay. So another thing is that Lord Ram, everybody knows he is the Maryada Purushottam. Lord is showing what a how to perfectly execute religious principles and dharma. And he did this in such a way that actually nobody could find any fault in it. But as you know, if you want to find faults, you can still find fault even in the Lord Himself. I was going through some notes on Lord Ram, and I came across him and some of his activities that he did. One of them were, you know, if you look at it, he was an ideal son. He was an ideal king. He was an ideal husband. He was an ideal upholder of religious principles. He was also the most compassionate. Not only in the case of Hanuman did he consider him a monkey and not accept service from him. He accepted service from even a monkey. He looked at the sincerity. When he went, you know, these Guhyakas, you know, Nishad race, you know, he accepted that one of those persons from that family as his friend. There are so many instances where Lord Ram actually accepted without consideration of a person's material situation. Same thing Lord Chaitanya did. Krishna also actually does not look at our material situation. One time, then I came across this unfortunate incident where a devotee was decrying another devotee who was having trouble in his life instead of helping him. And he was blaming him that you are having all these material problems in your life because you are not Krishna conscious, you are not chanting your rounds properly. Whereas look, I am chanting my rounds properly, so I have got already my house, I have got my bank balance, I have no problems. Oh my God. Sometimes devotees can think like that, that I must be a very good devotee and therefore Krishna is taking such good material care of me. But Krishna doesn't say that. Krishna says instead, he says, Yasya aham anugrihanami harishye tad dhanam shane. If I become really merciful unto you, I'll take all your dhan away. I'll take everything away from you. You will have nobody left to depend on except for myself. That is special mercy of Krishna. Anyone can think of an example when actually the Lord took everything away from somebody? Sorry? Wonderful. Very good. That's our example. He did not let him. He wanted to so much make money. It was just not happening. So Prabhupada was not a devotee. Do we judge anyone but just by seeing if he can make money or not? Or he can manage properly or not? These are not the things. So the sum and substance here is, we have to see. So Lord Ram, he was showing the ideal. And one of the ideals this verse is speaking about, and that is no material consideration at all. No consideration of even health. Although in the embodied state, we need to take care of our health. If you are on the liberated platform, whether you take care of your health or not is insignificant. On the liberated platform. But while we are still executing devotional life and we are following the principles of Rupa Goswami, who says that we should be using the principle of Yukta Vairagya, that we use everything in Krishna's service, from that point of view, our body is also Krishna's property and we take care of it. But in the long run, there is no material impediment. And our whole life, you will see, we are trying to become Krishna conscious, we are practicing so many devotional principles, And while practicing, we are also seeing the difficulties. We are not able to every day perform our sadhana sometimes properly, and so many different things. And we start questioning ourselves, when will I get to that level? You know, all of these questions keep coming into the mind. And while this is happening, we may become a little bit despondent or depressed. You know, when is it that I am going to achieve success? I am so much affected by external circumstances. How am I going to actually make progress? And mind you, as time goes on and we come nearer to the point of death, you know, the only thing that works is one thing. Our body will not work, our senses will not work, nothing works, but the mind is still working. And with this mind, we have to be so content and satisfied in the service of Krishna without being actively engaged. Because the body is not going to work. Right now, if you become a little impatient, we have chanted about 16 knots now. No, that's about it. And now I need to do something physical, something, you know, there is this mode of passion or something like that. In the service of Krishna, of course, those who are serving Krishna. But still, there is only just to think about Krishna and chant 24 hours a day is very daunting for devotees. So they have other activities. But a time has to come when, despite not being able to do anything physical, our minds are still focused on the Lord. And that is this current time is our training ground for that. We are actually trying to train ourselves to always keep Krishna Ram in the mind. And then, when we do that, make a real effort. Even then sometimes you seem like you are failing. You are not able to succeed. You can never become as perfect in your religious principles as Lord Ram was. Neither you can become as perfect in your execution of sadhana. We cannot imitate even Srila Prabhupada, who did what he did. We cannot get anywhere near that. But what we need to do only, what we need to do is just go 50% of the way. Just like in the Damodar Leela. Even Yashoda, Mother Yashoda had to try 50% at least to tie up Krishna. She was really sweating. And the rope was getting short 2 inches every time. Seeing our effort, sincere effort is what Krishna is looking for. That's all. And as soon as he sees that, he will assist. And he will cover up the shortcomings. You tried your very best in your circumstance. That's what is needed. And anyone can tell me, this actually, from this we understand that the sincerity is the most important thing we have in our spiritual life. What can destroy the sincerity? Everyone who comes to Krishna consciousness in the beginning of their lives, they are all very sincere and they come. They take up the practices. There is sincerity, otherwise you can't take it up. There is very pure intention. As time goes on, we become more complacent or used to these things. Then later on, you know, something can take away our sincerity. We are not as serious as we were. We are not as enthusiastic as we were. Sometimes some devotees have this problem. What causes it? If we want to protect our sincerity, we have to know the cause of losing your sincerity. Anyone wants to suggest something? Vaishnava prad causes you to lose sincerity. It can happen, yes. Any other causes?
Satiation. Association of other people.
Association of materialistic people, okay. There is one more I'm looking for.
Pride. False ego.
False ego, pride. Is no place in where sincerity is. Okay, any other suggestions? Good answers. There's one more.
Internal chanting.
Sorry?
Inattentive chanting.
Inattentive chanting, yes, there can be two other aparas. There's one more.
Getting material. Getting material.
Getting? How does this taste again develop for material things? Through aparad and other things. One of them, yes, all of these are in one way or other connected to the answer. They are all correct. And the key is to protecting sincerity is never ever let go of your guard and break any principles. No matter what. As soon as you give in one time to Maya, that's all she needs. That will be the beginning of the loss of your sincerity. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada was saying, follow the principles, chant very good rounds. Only if you do that much properly, I'll cover for the other things and I'll take you back to God. So, Lord Ram's ideal is there as an example to follow. And while following this example, taking so many lessons from so many personalities in the Ramayana, the example of Bharat is an ideal brother. The example of Sita as an ideal chaste wife. The example of faithfulness to one's spouse. Ram actually, in Ram's Leela, there is no Madhurya Ras with anybody else apart from Sita. There is only up to the point of Vatsalya Ras, and even that is limited. Of course, Krishna is Purna Purushottam, so he can give all rasas. But in Ram's Leela, it goes up to a certain level, unrestricted. Therefore, the sages of the Dandakaranya forest actually, although they wished to, they saw Sita constantly with Ram, and they thought how nice it would be to be in that position, to be always with Ram. And they desired that kind of relationship with the Lord. And the Lord fulfilled that, of course, their desire in the next incarnation. Krishna, of course, is the avatari incarnation. But the ideals are there. Ekapatni Vrata, so many different things. So, from Lord Ram's Leela, we can learn unlimited number of things. How to execute socially, individually, on an individual basis, social basis, you know, on the basis of the family, on basis of even a nation. How to rule the citizens, all of those things, the ideal. And it's such a long itihas that this is so famous that the Ramayana, there's so many different versions of Ramayana throughout the world. And now, you know, from the satellite, they have even found that bridge under the water. They have even found the lost Dwarka underneath the ocean. For those who need a reason to increase their faith, so many other reasons are there. That these pastimes of the Lord have actually happened. And in this way, our faith has to be just, we have to continue nourishing it. So, do not be deviated. As you make advancement in spiritual life, do not let material things distract you. Do not think that the Lord is purchased by these things. The only thing he is looking for is his sincere effort and devotion. That's all. And for, to attain that, we should be able to sacrifice everything. So this one last point I wanted to mention. To show an example to us, look at what Lord Ram sacrificed. Imagine if you were getting coronated, and on the very day of your coronation, you were told to go to the forest. How would you take it? You would hate the person who did that to you. We would, absolutely, devotees won't, but most people will respond in that manner, hate you. But he was completely amicable. He went and even offered obeisances to the mother who actually sent him to the forest. It shows the same kind of attitude as the Paribhasa Sutra that Lord Chaitanya gave. Trinada Pisanichana Taroro Pisanichana Amani Amana Vyana Kirtaniya Sudhari. This was exemplified by Lord Ram also. So you will see, therefore, when Lord Chaitanya's incarnation came and he was revealing himself to Murari Gupta, he also showed his Shadbhuja form, six-headed form, two hands of Lord Krishna, two of Lord Chaitanya, and two of Lord Ram. So these are our, these three incarnations. Krishna is not an incarnation, he is the source of all incarnations. And the other two, and even Lord Chaitanya is directly Krishna himself, no different. And Lord Ram, who showed the ideal of Maryada, how to deal with it. We therefore worship all three of them. And especially in this Kali Yuga, when we have many, many demonic tendencies within each person, along with good qualities. In previous days, you would see the demons are demons, outright. And the devotees are outright devotees. But in this age, you see both sometimes qualities in the very same person, which we are actually trying to eliminate those bad qualities. So this Ramayana is very nice to actually go through to learn the principles of dharma, to see what kind of sacrifices, to what extent you can go through. Lord Ram was crying due to separation from Sita, literally. He was feeling separation. Yet he was, you know, you could take it two different ways, that he was feeling separation, and this is attached to Sita. But it's a transcendental attachment. It's his own spiritual potency. So it's not transcendental. And then he was able to send her to the forest, alone, give her up, just by hearing somebody make a comment that, oh, he took Sita back. Sita went through, you know, almost three Agni tests of going through the fire. The third one, when Ramchandra, Lord Ram, called for Sita to come and go through the test again, then she decided not to do that anymore. And then all she did was she actually called upon the earth, Mother Earth, to take her away. It's time to tell me it's time. So we stop here and see if there's any discussion or any questions anybody wants to ask. Yes, go. See, he did not just abandon Sita when she was pregnant. He asked Lakshman take her. She was left very near Varishi's ashram. A woman always has to be protected. Ram could have immediately organized, okay, he's no longer going to live with Sita. Keep her somewhere, in Ayodhya somewhere, remote, another palace or something, another place. But he did not make any arrangements. She was pregnant at that time, and he just sent her away. We have to understand that the Lord is very independent. At some point in time, He may want to give us a certain lesson. At another point, He may want to give another lesson. So while sending Sita away, while she was pregnant, was certainly not looking like the right thing to do. But He showed one point. And the point was that that duty comes over and above everything. If the citizens were not happy, he was prepared to even give up his own personal desires for the sake of the citizens. So, in that instance, he was trying to exhibit sacrifice. He was not actually trying to show the father's caring for his children. Another point is that the instance of sending Sita still to Valmiki's ashram in the forest, and Valmiki actually took her in his care, and they got really trained up by the best possible person possible. He taught them the glories of Lord Ram right there in his ashram, their own father. They actually did not develop any resentment for Ram. These were little boys, and they were so brilliant. They could recite the entire Ramayana without looking anywhere. And even when they came to the court of Ram, finally, to recite Ramayana. This is how Valmiki Ramayana starts, actually. In the Valmiki Ramayana, many people read the Tulsi Krit, Ramcharitmanas, where Tulsidas wrote that. But Srila Prabhupada used to say that the Valmiki Ramayana is the real scripture. And Tulsidas is the great poet, and within Ramcharitmanas, whatever his mind was thinking about Ram, he wrote. So that is his bhav towards Ram. But the actual authorized scripture for Lord Ram is Valmiki Ramayana. So within that, in the beginning, the Ramayana is actually being recited by Valmiki to this, he's teaching it to Lava and Kush, making them really pakka. Then they go to the court of Lord Ram and they recite the Ramayana. And Ram comes to know they are his sons later on. Now, sometimes you may be very, very in a situation where you have to show some others. So Ram showed many others by this. He showed renunciation, you know. Then still the protection was still there through Valmiki. So how did he become an ideal? He showed the ideal son how he should be by himself being the son. But the ideal father, you know, he used others to show. At different times, the Lord shows different things. Anyone has any other points to add to that? Any other questions? Yes.
If Lord Ramayana knew that Can you speak a little louder? I am very, not very good at hearing. Yes.
Lord Rama knew that Sita was pure, then why did he banish her to the forest?
Did anybody get that?
Lord Ramachandra knew that Sita is pure, why did he send her to the forest? Is that it?
Why did he send her to the forest? That's because he had to go by.
This is what happens when you become a manager.
Sorry.
Sometimes we may know that we are right, and yet we cannot do it the right way. Why? Because we have to consider others. Lord Ram went, he was the king, but he wanted to know what his citizens thought about himself. When he was sitting in his court, he had many ministers telling him so many things. But you know how it is if you are the king. There is hesitancy to tell you something which is wrong. If you are like the temple president, people will be hesitant to come to you and tell you something wrong. It happens sometimes. So, Ram knew that point and he wanted to see what really, not through the mouths of my ministers who are always praising me. I want to know from the citizens themselves. So he disguised himself and he went out to find out about himself what people thought. He wandered around in Kekno. Nobody knew Ram was there. But then he heard this one man who was chastising his wife who had come back after staying somewhere for overnight or whatever. And he said something like, Ram may be a hand-packed husband to take back a wife who had been in another's place for a night. But I am not such a person. I will not ever take you back. See? What did Ram want foremost? Is to establish the ideal king, who looks at what the citizens are thinking even and tries to make adjustment. Normally we don't do that nowadays. We don't care what people think. We just do what we think is right. But if you are a king, you do have to care. You have to care about the citizens and what they think. So this is what he was doing. He, even though he did not want to send Sita away, he still did that. That was his sacrifice. Even though Sita was at no fault, still she went through that. And how she accepted her fate is also shown. She did not retaliate. She could have said, what is my fault? Why are you doing this to me? She could have said so many things. She just accepted what Ram decided and let it be. Where is such a wife nowadays? You know? It's like that. So, the ethics and morality that Ram depicts is of the highest standard. We cannot even imagine. So therefore sometimes even Ram Leela is very difficult to understand. And people think, oh, I'm going to become depressed if I read Ramayana. Because all we find in it is tragedy. You know? He was to be crowned prince. He had no fault at all. And he is now sent to the forest for 14 years. Sita was not banished. Ram was banished. But Sita showed the ideal and wanted to still come with him. Lakshman had nothing to do with that. But Lakshman was so devoted to Ram that he went anyway. It is described someplace that for 14 years that they stayed in the forest, Lakshman never ate anything. That is how he could actually defeat Indrajit. Because he had a boon that someone who has not eaten for 14 years Where would such a circumstance arise? You know, and this was there. Lakshmana had not eaten anything. You look through the whole Ramayana, you don't find that Lakshmana ate something. He would bring, collect, and do everything for Sita and Ram, but he would not. What brother would show such loyalty? Not once did he look up from the feet of Sita Devi. He always kept himself as the humble servant of Lord Ram. So even the ideals of service that we see, you know, is just unparalleled in the history. And the whole thing seems like a great tragedy. There are those who are faultless. And then when Ram comes back, he comes back to Ayodhya. He found out that Bharat, one, did not even sleep on the same level as Lord Ram. Ram was sleeping on Kusha grass. He dug a hole and he made sure that his bed was lower than Ram's. And then he laid Kusha grass there and he slept on it. And for his eatables, he was eating only barley cooked in cow urine for 14 years. When Ram found that out, he was lamenting. Tears were coming out of his eyes. What dedication. Any other person would have gone for the kingdom. But he genuinely wanted Ram to come back. Right. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Just an extra comment on
yes.
Ram sending Sita to the forest when she was carrying Lav Kush.
Yes.
Sita also came to know that citizens are talking ill about Ram.
Yes.
And really. She wanted to go to the forest just to protect Ram's good name.
Really.
She basically went on her own wishes. And the whole drama was so played that she wanted to go to the forest. And Ram said, yes, you can go to the forest. And Sita knew all these things happening. So she voluntarily left Ram so that Ram's reputation is intact.
Yes, correct. Completely accepted. Very good. Thank you, Prabhu. Any other points? Comments? Alright. Yeah. Shri Ram Navami Mahamahotsav ki Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Do you have a profile?